This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us today here on a sunny Thursday in the Commonwealth, the 14th of November. That was Burt Breer. And that was audio from it was like Sunday. That was during before the game. Either before or after the game. Burt Breer with a news story that I completely missed, Andy. I don't know if you caught this or not. It went right over my head. I did not see it in real time. As I was busy doing our own pregame show, and of course after the game, listening to Six Rings, so I missed that little clip from Breer there. But Patriots, not the Patriots, the Crafts, looking for help on how to handle their young quarterback. Which, bravo, by the way, about time they finally got around to doing that. They had a rookie quarterback here very recently, and don't think they handled him all that well. That was before they got control of the team back from the tyrant Bill Belichick, but we'll get to that in just a second. I'm sort of wondering here where this story originated from, what the genesis of it was, who put that out there, who gave it to Breer, who's talking about this, and I have some theories on it, by the way, but I also wonder, in the event that this is all well-sourced and it's Breer, so I assume that it is, what are the Crafts up to and what did they expect exactly coming into this season? That now at week 10, week 11, they're suddenly, we got to go back to the drawing board. We need some help. We need to pull a Mac Jones, so to speak, and get some outside help here, which God help you if Bill Belichick was still around and you're calling outside, you'd have hell to pay. But he's gone, and the Crafts feel like, you know what? We got to figure something else out here, because whatever's going on right now is either not quite on the trajectory that we want. It's unacceptable, it could be. I don't know exactly how they feel about it, but I do wonder what they expected, because for them to be going out looking for help and additional people to bring in, they had plenty of time to plot out exactly what they wanted to do with their rookie quarterback, because we all knew they were going to draft a quarterback. I think that was pretty obvious. They knew that. They had ample time for their coaching staff, their assistants, their QB people, all the people underneath, the coordinators and everybody else, to devise a plan that they all felt good about for Drake May. And all season long, I feel like there was never really a plan. They just kind of flew by the seat of their pants. There was different people in the room who maybe wanted different things. We all discussed this. Elliott Wolf, Van Pelt not wanting to put May out there. Mayo does. Other factions within the organization and their differing opinions on it. That's all something that we've discussed ad nauseum this year, right? I mean, you've talked about it. We've talked about it. And the underlying theme, I think, is that whatever the plan was, if there was one, they haven't stuck to it. And it's just been, all right, put him out there. He's hurt. Take him off. Put him back in. If you need to, then we'll put him in there if Brissett's not having a good game, even though we made this weird sort of pledge that we weren't going to do that. And here we are now. It's week 11, and they're looking for more help. Why didn't they have a better plan to begin with, I guess, is the question.
So I think the answer is they weren't ready. And you say they had a lot of time, but in a way they didn't. Like, they were fast-tracking the post-Mayo hiring process to get ready for the combine, to get ready to put a scheme in place. If you remember, they didn't hold a week of practice that they could have because they weren't ready.
I remember that, yeah.
So they didn't have a lot of time to do what they did. Now, part of that could be the people they hired, right? Like, you bring in Alex Van Pelt, who'd never really done this before. Whereas if you bring in, you know, insert name here, Sean Payton, I'm guessing that guy comes in with a big binder and it's like, this is everything right here. This is everything we do from start to finish. I've done this before. I know we're going to hit the ground running. Whereas Alex Van Pelt has to build from the ground up. He basically told us he was stealing Kevin Stefanski's offense from Cleveland, but he had to do it his own way, build from the ground up. So I think that's part of it. But my bigger question here is, what are they asking? Like, what are they asking?
for help.
But in terms
help
of what?
With their rookie quarterback.
I'll tell
question.
You how you support a rookie quarterback. Give him the best coaching possible. Give him the best offensive line possible. And give him the best weapons around him possible.
And everyone knows that. That's not exactly some big mystery. That's not some head scratcher like, geez, what's the one thing missing from the Drake May development plan right now? And that's kind of what I mean. They had time to put a team together and they had time to hire a coaching staff. And they didn't do that. I mean, they had Gerard Mayo way ahead of time and they dragged their feet on everybody else or weren't willing to pay up or whatever it was for the offensive coordinator and the offensive staff. And you're left with a guy who's never done it before or was your 13th choice. So, yeah, I kind of agree with you. So what did you expect exactly? And now what are you asking for? The answer's right in front of you. The answer's pretty obvious. Is it, how do we do this without learning from our mistakes? Is that the question? Because that's a crappy question. We don't want to continue down this road. If you want to pivot, then pivot. But don't, what are you asking about?
Yeah. So the only way I can interpret this is an Alex Van Pelt question. And they can be torn. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think there's a legitimate decision. Alex Van Pelt is the maiden voyage voice, maiden voyage coach, maiden voyage sculptor of Drake May. And by all accounts, our accounts, their accounts, Dan Orlovsky, everybody says Drake May has come a long way in a short period of time. Everybody is happy with the way Drake May is playing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think maybe Alex Van Pelt could be going over the top. Did you hear today? He was asked about Drake May's footwork, and he's like, whoa,
yeah,
long way.
It's amazing.
Plus. You know what I took that as? I'm doing a great job. Yeah. So don't look outside the building. The answer to all your questions is right here, baby. AVP, just like that bowler used to do.
AVP and the, who was the wrestler that used to do that?
Rob Van Dam.
Rob Van Dam. RVD. Yeah, right.
I feel like that's what he was doing at the podium today. But I also think there are questions in that world. Like, I think teams do this a lot with stick with the wrong guy too long, stick with the, you know, keep, they think he's the right guy, he's not the right guy, do you bring in? Because I think the simple answer here is play calling. It's the question we've been having for weeks now.
Right.
Is Alex Van Pelt capable of developing and preparing quarterbacks, just the position of quarterback? I think that is a proven yes. Cleveland, here, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. That's what he's an expert in.
Yep.
Can he develop an offense? Can he call a game? Is he the best offensive coordinator? And we know that's important because Burt Breer was wrong. The Patriots didn't ruin Mac Jones in 21, 2, and 3. They ruined him in 22 and 23 when Josh McDaniels left.
Right.
He was fine in 2021.
His rookie year was a very good
rookie
year.
When he had a solid coach who a lot of people think did the Sean McVay thing. I'm going to talk to you until they cut this headset off. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. I'm going to help you through this process. So the Patriots screwed up.
And they had a relationship like that, too. You could tell. After every single series, they were right next to each other. They were talking the entire time. And then that next year with Patricia and Judge, no one was talking to him.
Right.
He was there twisting in the wind with this zone blocking crap on the run game. Yeah.
So I think that is the question that's being asked. Now, I think it's weird. I don't know how you're – who are you asking? You asking owners? Are you asking media? Are you asking GMs? Are you asking coaches?
Bill.
Who, Bill? I doubt it.
Hey, Bill, how do you handle a rookie quarterback? Can you give us some tips?
Probably would have to call Bill from like an unmarked number so answers. Because
I think
if it says Robert or Jonathan, I'm not sure he's answering that phone call.
Probably not. Probably blocked.
But are you calling like, hey Browns, are you gonna fire Kevin Stefanski? Just wondering as we plan. Hey Giants, are you you keeping Dable or is he maybe going to be available? Like, that's the only thing I can really think of. Because as you said, generic plans are obvious. Good talent, good line, good coaching.
I just thought of someone they might have called. Pete the Poodle. Huh? He's not doing anything. Have you heard Pete Carroll's name once?
Nope.
Since he got let go?
Nope.
He's not doing media. He's not doing anything that I know of. If he is, it's been completely overshadowed by Belichick, which tough time to move on when that guy's out of a job, too, and taking every single media job that anyone throws at him. But, yeah, I haven't heard or seen hide nor hair of Pete Carroll. I wonder what he's up to. I bet he's a guy that you could give a call to.
He's a guy.
He'll pick up the phone.
I would think he'll pick up the phone, even though they did can him
a
long time ago, like they canned Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy I'd throw out there who – they could probably meet at the local ground round. Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
Who had success with Mac Jones.
Good call.
They could talk to him personally. They don't even have, and who knows how these things get out. I'm not going to go down that road necessarily, but he's a guy that's readily available. Now, it's a weird one because would he be angling for the job? Would he even want to come back?
Of course he would. Why wouldn't he? You think he wants to be out of football?
No. I know he doesn't want to be out of football.
Of course.
And I think he plans on being back in football as of January.
Right.
But
I'm saying, why wouldn't he angle for the job then, is my point.
But from their perspective, do you think you're getting an honest opinion from Josh McDaniels? Do you have a good enough relationship? Or do you feel like you're getting an opinion that's kind of swaying things in his direction? I can tell you how to fix this.
Yeah.
There's a guy. He did a good job in 2021 with a rookie quarterback.
It's going to cost you.
Who wasn't, it's going to cost you.
Right. Well, listen, if that's what they're doing, you would imagine that they're doing it because they're not satisfied with the job that Van Pelt's doing, or they think someone else could be doing it better, and he'd be better off in another role or whatever.
That's how I feel. I agree with them if that's what they're doing. I also think...
I think it'd be unpopular to bring back McDaniels, though. I like McDaniel, but
I think so, too.
It would not land well. He'd be thought of as another Bill guy. You're just bringing back all the Bill guys. Lombardi would have a field day with it. It'd be a whole thing. I think it would probably help the team, but it wouldn't be popular. It wouldn't be a popular move.
Well, would it be popular with the head coach?
No.
I don't think so, either.
I don't think it would be.
I feel like my replacement, my interim, is waiting right there.
Yeah.
He's on the other side of this table, this meeting room. He's
like
waiting.
His lips. Like,
absolutely.
So rubbing his hands together.
So I guess it's funny because Bert Breer was very vague in his reporting, and maybe intentionally so. I think this is very specific. I don't think they're looking for philosophies. Mm. I don't think they're looking for, you know, these plans. I think they're looking for options.
Yeah.
Specifics. Who's going to be available? Could I do it? Because the other side of this is, and this may be unfair, but this is my read on Alex Van Pelt, because I don't think many people would take a demotion very well and just hang around. Oh, yeah, I'll just hang around and coach Drake May, and you can just replace me as play caller. I think a lot of people would be like, F you, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I feel like Alex Van Pelt's the kind of guy that might be willing to do that. That's been his role for the bulk of his career. B, since he was the 12th interview last year, I'm guessing he didn't have a lot of opportunities last year better than this one.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably would get to maintain the current contract he has, which he'd probably be overpaid as a QB coach.
Definitely would,
right?
Be, yeah.
So I don't think that would work with a lot of people to bring in Daboll or Stefanski or McDaniels above Alex Van Pelt.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would work with Alex Van Pelt. He's one of the rare cases where I think he might take that demotion and accept it.
Yeah, I want to see what this finished product looks like at the end of the season before we make any changes. I think that that's at least something you owe the guy.
Offense or May?
On offense with Drake May and Alex Van Pelt and that sort of relationship. I want to at least see it through to the end of the season to see if it gets better, to see if May grows sort of an attachment to Van Pelt that has any value. I mean, those things matter. I think that Mac had an attachment to McDaniels that when you broke it up, it affected him, I think. I mean, it's also who you replaced him with. But
yes.
I do think that that matters with a rookie quarterback and his first coordinator. I just think there's something to that, and I do value the continuity. I think that that's something that if you ask any of these kids, well, would you rather have a new coordinator every year or sort of grow with the same guy? Even if he's not the best, they might say, yeah, just keep the same guy here for the sake of continuity. And I do think there is some value to that. By the way, Pete Carroll is a advisor with the Seahawks, so that's probably why he's haven't seen much of him. I just got that on the text line. I didn't know that. I didn't realize he was still with the team.
But collecting a paycheck.
Sure. But either way, here's Ted Johnson. He had thoughts on this as well. Doesn't think it's a great idea for the Crafts to be out searching for answers because it undermines the current coaching staff.
I like that they're kind of asking around, but I don't like it that it gets out. I think it undermines your offense of coordinator a little bit. I think it undermines your head coach. I mean, if you have, that report is that the Crafts are doing the calling. It really should be the head coach that's doing the calling. So I just worry about that relationship. Clearly, we've all kind of wondered now that Bill is gone, how much power do the Crafts have? I mean, if they're the ones that are kind of spearheading this behind the scenes, I just think that can be a tricky thing for a young coach and possibly undermine your offensive coordinator.
And head coach, too. I think that he spelled it out pretty well right there. This is generally the type of thing that a head coach, especially a non-offensive-minded head coach, would be taking on himself. This isn't something that would be coming from ownership. So I wonder, again, where'd this story come from? Did it come from Van Pelt, maybe? Like, look what these guys are doing. Can you believe this? I'm bringing Drake May along, and he looks so good, and everybody loves Drake May, and I'm his coach, and they're trying to replace me. Can you believe it? Like, is it that type of thing? Did it come from Mayo? Or did it come from the Crafts? Like, I don't see what incentive the Crafts would have for this to come out. And I don't really see an incentive for Van Pelt either because it puts his job on the
right line,
right, and puts his status in question. So where did it come from, do you think?
I think the other side of the phone or the conversation. McDaniels.
Yeah.
If it was McDaniels, could it come through him? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If it's any other team.
He called me the other day, yeah.
Now, I do think, first of all, the other thing that bothers me here, we always throw out the Crafts like they are one entity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But who's called, like, I feel like Jonathan would probably call different people than Robert.
Yeah.
Robert would probably call owners. Probably that's his, like, level. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones, whoever. Shad Khan. Like,
yeah.
Jonathan, I don't know who he would call. Are there, like, next in line at every other organization? Does he see a lot of people at meetings? Because we always throw that out there, but one of them is making the call or having the conversation. And I think that's important here, too. Because Robert hired Gerard Mayo, correct?
Yes.
But if Jonathan is calling around sort of trying to build the organization underneath Gerard or around Gerard, is that different? You know what I mean? Like, there's two different...
Yeah.
There's a weird layer to that in my mind.
Yeah. Looking ahead to the future, I mean, maybe something along those lines, but...
If Jonathan's smart, I agree with him.
Yeah.
Because Drake May is Jonathan's future.
Unsatisfied with Gerard Mayo, too. I mean, if he doesn't like the job that he's doing or doesn't feel satisfied with the work that they're doing as coaches, then fine. But I think the thing about this that doesn't really sit right with me is you're going outside the organization to look for... people to help you along more with your rookie quarterback from a coaching perspective. What about the personnel perspective?
That's what
I'm
saying.
What do we think's the bigger issue
here? Call Mike Brown and ask him if he's going to sign.
Or the people that are around him and the offensive line protecting him and the receivers and other pass catchers he's throwing to. What's the bigger issue? It's not even close.
I don't know how you can evaluate this scheme right now with one of the worst offensive lines I've ever seen and one of the worst core of pass catchers I've ever seen. Do I think the scheme is great and AVP is probably a maniacal offensive modern mind? No, I don't think he is.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think you can win with less than Sean McVay? I think you can win with less than Sean McVay. And I don't know how you can evaluate this offense based on the talent that is put out there. So that would be my biggest
thing. Yeah, I think that's a big part of this, and I wonder if that's something that's on their mind as well. If they're making phone calls about how to coach them better, then you got to make a phone call about how to put other people around them.
So let me play your side of the street.
Sure.
What costs more, talent or a coach?
Talent, by far, yeah.
So I could sign an assistant coach.
Although
for like,
Bill was making a lot of money.
But no, you're bringing
in
an offensive coordinator.
Right.
$5 million?
About that.
So I'm going to spend $5 million, or I can spend, I don't know, $300 million on, like, you know what I mean? T. Higgins is going to cost $100-plus million, $30 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie Stanley is going to get, whatever, $20 million a year. To get talent, I have to spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, lots of it guaranteed, spread over. I could just bring in a $5 million coach. Would that fix it? I think it's stupid.
It would. But my counter to that would be you get a better drafter in there and you'll have that talent and you'll have it for cheap. You know, that's the way it works. If you hit on your draft picks and you're not just drafting Jalen Polk and N'Keal Harry and all these other guys every year and Tyquan Thornton, then you can get that value for 4 years of a pretty good price. So,
absolutely.
You know, that's another thing that falls on the talent evaluator.
Also, a guy who, why isn't he making these calls? We all thought that he was helping Gerard hire the staff. His network of contacts is how we got Alex Van Pelt.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland to New England, right? Alex Van Pelt.
Yep.
Green Bay to Cleveland to New England. Elliott, Wolf, Trail. So why are the Crafts calling around to figure out how to support a young quarterback? I thought Elliott Wolf was doing those kinds of things.
It's a good question. What do you think has been the best part and the worst part of Drake May's handling so far? What's the best thing that they've done for him so far, do you think?
The best thing that they have done is draft him.
Draft him. Okay, well, it's not really developing. It's just sort of calling his name out in a big
room. I think
he's
really good. I think he would have been really good any team he went to. Mm-hmm. I think the worst thing they did was start somebody else for 6 weeks.
Okay, that's fair. And
play him against the Panthers in the first preseason game more.
Yeah, I would have liked that, too.
Highlights would have begun that night. We would have started raving about Drake May that night. Maybe it would have created too high an expectation. I don't know. Maybe that would have been a bad thing.
No, because the Eagles game created a high expectation.
Same. So, yeah.
You know,
so they didn't play him fast enough.
It was a week later.
You wasted opportunity to get him reps quicker.
Sure. Okay. I'd agree with that.
Because nothing's changed. All these people that told me it would be, you know, you couldn't pay me enough, the offense stinks, it all still stinks.
Yep.
So nothing changed between the time you didn't play him and the time you played him. So in my opinion, Schefter said it yesterday. The Patriots made changes because they got terrible quarterback play for a portion of the year.
Yep.
They didn't have to get terrible quarterback play for a portion of the year. They could have had a young guy developing, and then we'd be comparing him in equal footing to Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix and all these guys, put a C on his chest, put him in the starting lineup like all these other teams did. Has everything fallen apart anywhere?
No, not at all.
Maybe Chicago, but I think that's because he's a dink.
Yeah, well, that was falling apart around him anyway. I would also say the best thing that they did, or one of the good things that they did, was when he was the backup, still give him 30% of the reps. That, in retrospect, was a pretty smart thing to do, considering they knew they were going to be moving to him, and he didn't get those reps in the Carolina game and some other ones. He was taking backup reps during camp and things like that. So there you go. I think there's one thing right there that was a good part of his handling. But in general, it's sort of just been a plug-and-play type of situation, and he's risen to the occasion. So that's making these guys look good. And also makes me wonder what the Crafts are looking for. So I think that's an interesting story here that is now been unearthed 4 days after it was reported. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your phone calls. We're going to talk about how the other rookie quarterbacks have been handled. Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, Daniels, Penix, all those guys. McCarthy not so much because he's injured and just had a second surgery since that happened. But we'll talk about the way they've been handled and who deserves credit for Drake May. That's coming up right after Stiz. Get you caught up on what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up on what's trending this hour on WEEI and WEEI.com. Celtics beat the Nets 139-114 in Brooklyn last night. Jason Tatum led the Celtics scoring with 36 points. Jaylen Brown followed behind him with 24. Peyton Pritchard had 23. Celtics will head home to host the Raptors on Saturday night. Tip-off from Causeway Street at 8 p.m. The Bruins in Dallas tonight to take on the Stars. Puck drops at 8 p.m. from the American Airlines Center. Head coach Jim Montgomery told the media earlier today that defenseman Hampus Lindholm will be sidelined for multiple weeks with a lower body injury. The Bruins have also called up forward Patrick Brown from Providence. Patriots back on the practice field today, and according to multiple reports, Christian Barmore expected to return to practice today. This would mark the first time the defensive lineman was involved in practice since he was diagnosed with blood clots in July. Patriots will host the Rams on Sunday, kickoff from Gillette Stadium at 1 p.m. And some Thursday night football tonight as the 7-3 Commanders in Philly to take on the 7-2 Eagles. Kickoff at 8:15 from Lincoln Financial Field. You can catch that game right here on WEEI. Our Westwood One coverage begins at 7:30. Or you can download the Odyssey app and take us wherever you go. Trending brought to you by Jackson Lumber. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber in Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber in Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show with Arcan and Hart coming up.
This is Afternoons with Arcan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And hard on WEEI. On WEEI.
Gerard Mayo talking about his offensive coordinator, Alex Famous. Just turn this up, will you? I haven't listened to this song in so long.
Classic.
I love this song. Classic Ludacris.
People sleep on Luda.
You can't, though. I mean, why would you do that? And way to flip this, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Who is this? Is this Green Lantern? Who did this beat?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. We'll have to look into it.
It's this is good stuff. This is good music right here. What do you think, Andy?
It's fine.
That was Gerard Mayo.
I don't get as excited about music as you guys do.
Certainly not. Unless it's the sad Pearl Jam song about the guy whose wife died.
That song.
Yeah, then that gets Andy going.
And Jackson.
And Jackson, too. That's right. What's that song called?
Last Kiss.
The Last Kiss, yes, right. If you want to get really depressed, Andy Hart's got the song for you. Anyway, Gerard Mayo there, giving all the props in the world to Alex Van Pelt. That was yesterday. And I wanted to play that because, first of all, if there is some sort of thing going on behind the scenes, it does seem as though the coaching staff is at least presenting a unified front right now. And I think that's relevant, you know, if they're aware that there's a campaign going on behind the scenes to either replace them or bring in people to supervise them or whatever it is exactly the Crafts are trying to do, then I think it's important for them to kind of band together and say, hey, you know, we got this. We're okay. I would say that the last couple of weeks, really since Mayo called the team soft, the coaching staff has looked okay. You know, like, I haven't had a ton of complaints. I do think that they're still learning on the job, and I still think it's, you know, not a finished product yet, but we're giving that kind of grace to someone like Drake May. And if Drake May is accomplishing things behind the scenes and making mistakes that we're willing to look past and what have you, then I think the same thing should apply to the coaches too, no?
To a degree. Now, I think they have certainly benefited from the opponents and the disasters they've played against. The Bears being a disaster, the Titans not good, the Jets kind of a disaster, even the Jags game that elicited the soft comment.
Right.
Team that was going to fire its coach and will soon fire its coach moving forward. So, yes, but I also agree with you, like, they go hand in hand, the quarterback and the coach. If you have a nice 2-minute drive to kick a field goal, mm-hmm. that's the quarterback and the coach. That's the coach and the quarterback. They talked about repping it. Again, I do think Alex Van Pelt has spent a lot of time tooting his own horn. Not his tuba. That's different. But his own horn.
I like that, by the way.
Yeah,
throwing the tuba.
I actually did, too.
That was funny.
I feel like we're going to get into this a little bit later. We had a discussion the other day of what's the difference between corny.
Yes.
And like, or what is corny and what's the difference between corny and dad jokes mm-hmm. and are all dad jokes corny?
Right.
To me, Alex Van Pelt is either a walking dad joke or a walking corny factory, and I don't know where the blend together for him is. And that's not meant as a shot. It's actually meant as a compliment.
Sure.
I just think some players may receive some of his stuff with eye rolls more than smirks.
Yeah, probably.
But he has done, he's been telling us.
If you're authentic with that stuff, though, it's okay.
I think he's
fully
authentic.
If you're authentic and you're corny, 100%. Then it's fine. You know, that's just the way people are,
I think he walks in his dad jeans with his, like, hands in his pocket, like, what's up, fellas, or something. Like, I just think that's who he is. And I do believe it will work because of that in an authentic manner. But I do think he has also kind of puffed his chest out. We practiced that. Really, he got 16 seconds. Mm-hmm. We practiced that multiple times in practice. And May, his guy, supported him.
Yep.
And I do think May genuinely likes him. Now, I don't know. He has nothing to compare it to right now.
True.
Right? Like, this is the honeymoon period.
His college coaches or something.
I guess.
Which did switch. Didn't he have a new coordinator sophomore to junior year?
And maybe Van Pelt's better than that guy. Maybe there's a little uptick from last year to this year. Okay. And he's like, okay, I kind of like this guy. But he's never really sat down and talked football with Sean McVay. What if he sat down in the offseason? I don't even know if it's probably not legal, but, like, let's just pretend he sat down and for some reason he was with Sean McVay and they spent like 4 hours and he's like, holy crap, that's a real core.
Yeah.
Alex, I liked you before, but I just found out what he thinks.
Right.
Kind of thing. Or Kyle Shanahan or Mike McDaniel, whoever these mastermind offensive geniuses are.
Yeah, like a small town guy gets famous and all of a sudden, you know, the women are different, you know. You're looking around. It's like, hey, wow, my high school girlfriend's not so great anymore, you know, like that type of thing. Yeah.
But not Drake May, because he's still got his high school girl. He's got his middle school.
That was
girlfriend.
Not a literal comparison, but you know what I
You're
mean.
You're not saying he's going to dump his middle school girlfriend.
That is not what I was
saying.
They
just celebrated.
They celebrated what?
They're like 9-year anniversary or something.
That's nice.
From 13 to 22.
Oh, yeah. God, right, because he's 22.
Yes.
Is that weird to celebrate a relationship that started when you were 13?
Yes.
No.
Your anniversary?
Why is it weird?
I called it from the jump.
What's wrong with you people?
I don't know. It's just
it's not weird.
Weird
to have a relationship that long. It's just weird to have a 9-year anniversary when you're 22. I think that's
why they've been together.
Strange.
I mean, kids at 13, you celebrate like weeks and months and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So they've lived that whole life, so why shouldn't they?
I no reason.
I am not judging them like
no reason. No, and you know why? It's Northeast snobbery, by the way. This is what Southern is. Southern people, that's the way they do. They get together in high school, they stay together forever. That's a much more common thing, I think, down south of the Mason-Dixon line, personally, in my experience. But I could be wrong. At any rate, I went to my brother went to University of Roanoke.
Just pulled a Ross Tucker and interrupted yourself.
I did.
I went to a wedding with him.
It wasn't the way. It was just a college graduation, and the valedictorian comes out and he goes, I just want to thank my wife and my two kids. And I was like, what? It was a college valedictorian, 22 years old. They do it. It's a little different down there. You know, they stick to their guns. No, I'm not judging it. I'm
100
saying.
Years ago, didn't you get married at like 16 or whatever?
Yeah, because you died at 32.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's a midlife crisis at 16.
So, I mean, it's okay.
You didn't know what you were doing.
That happens with more players now, too,
you know
coming
what?
Out of the COVID
God
era.
Bless Mazel Tov to them and their 9-year anniversary. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I had an even weird thought
Wait,
about
they're
it.
Jewish?
Nothing wrong about it. No, it's just, you know, I don't think so. I don't know what her...
Gonna break a glass?
I don't know what her denomination is. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a moment. I wanted to compare the way Drake May's been handled with the way the other rookie quarterbacks who are playing right now, so no McCarthy, and really no Penix either, but they have put him into some games, so I do think he is worth at least discussing here. How would you compare the way May's been handled to the way, say, Caleb Williams has been handled?
Better just because of the stability,
yeah.
I would say. And they did it differently, as you have noted. The plans around him talent-wise could not have been more different.
Nope.
They were aggressive with weapons and running backs, wide receivers, the whole thing.
And appointing him the starter the second he put the
whole
hat on. Yeah,
I think
right.
Even a captain?
Yep.
I think he's one of the rookie captain quarterbacks. The whole thing.
I think all the other ones who are starting are.
Hell, they started it when they traded Fields and basically just gave him the job, which you can say smart, dumb. I have no idea. You can debate the merits of it, and maybe none of it matters. Maybe it all comes back to who Caleb Williams is. But the reality is they both were similar, and they actually gave him a more experienced offensive coordinator, younger guy in Shane Waldron, but he'd been with the Seahawks for three years, I
believe. McVay tree guy, right?
So, McVay tree, 3 years.
Check the boxes, fit the profile.
Geno Smith. Yep. He never wrote back in part because Shane Waldron was coaching him. If we're going to give AVP credit for May, then we're going to give Waldron some credit for Smith and what he's accomplished out there. So they gave him a more veteran, experienced offensive coordinator and more talent.
Yeah. How about Bo Nix?
Bo Nix, I think, is a little different case. Now, they wanted – this is a Sean Payton pick, I think. I think, and a lot of people started to talk about the comparisons. Bo Nix, not as strong an arm. Mm-hmm. Is he his new Drew Brees? Is there going to be this whole pairing second act kind of thing?
He was the most hated on quarterback in the class, I would say. Going into the draft. There
polarizing.
Was people, polarizing,
sure.
Yes. I'd say people disliked him more than they disliked anybody else.
Yeah, I didn't like him. Yeah. I still don't really like him. I'm still not sold that he is going to be a long-term
with
starting.
Your Oregon visor on, no less.
Well, this is about the look, the fit. Mm-hmm. And the fit ain't great. I'm still trying to stretch it out.
You would think that the fibers would give a little bit.
You would think.
On that
Nike,
dome.
Can
after
we make something that's a little bit forgiving for us heads?
You got
Andy,
a couple months.
The hoodie and the visors.
I know, right?
Swaggy.
Fashion
look
plate.
Look at me
over
being.
Here.
Is that,
look
is that,
at you.
Is swaggy a word?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm swaggy.
Is swaggy a word?
I'll take it.
All right, bonus.
Me and AVP.
So, well, how about the way he's been brought along, then, his development? I mean, if you didn't like the pick, fine, but he's playing. Well, he was the rookie of the week this past week.
And I like that they gave him the job. Well, let me rephrase that. He won the job.
Right.
I do think he won the job.
Won
they gave him
Stidham
competition.
And, Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson. So not a veteran like Brissett, not a guy who had started a ton of, well, Zach Wilson started for 2 years, I guess.
Yeah.
Basically.
Jets were better with him last year.
Yeah, so I like that they made him win it, but maybe set it up for him to win it as well. They probably wanted him to win it, and were happy that he did win it to start the process. And I think he's off to a good start, paired up, because that's the difference. There's no questioning the coaching, right?
No.
Sean Payton is considered one of the great offensive coaches of the last 20-something years.
Yes. I'd agree with that.
So you're not looking...
I don't know who the rest of that coaching staff is. Is Vance Joseph still there?
He's the defensive coordinator.
He's defensive coordinator, so who's the offensive coordinator?
Peyton. I mean, it's
just him.
Peyton.
There's nobody else even in the...
Be one by title, but it's Peyton. That's my point.
It's Joe Lombardi, of all people.
Which I think was
is the offensive coordinator.
Which I think he brought from New Orleans. I think he was OC in New Orleans.
Okay.
Or one of them.
But Peyton's the guy in charge.
It's his thing. And the owner's not going to call around and ask. He's entrusting Sean Payton...
Yes.
To handle Bo Nix. You're a QB guy. You helped build Drew Brees when you got him. Build this guy the same way. So I think that's a little different, too. That's the problem is there's no cachet. There's no fallback on resume, really, for Alex Van Pelt. All people have is, you got five quarterbacks ready last year for the Browns, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Great. Cool. Awesome.
Sweet. And then you won the Super Bowl, right? No, really.
Not so much.
I think we can all agree that Jaden Daniels with Quinn and Kingsbury has been brought along just fine. He's playing out of his mind. So
yeah.
I don't know if you get how much credit you give the coaches for that, but
some.
Yeah.
I mean, Cliff Kingsbury is a good offensive coach, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that anybody's great other than Andy Reid. That's the other thing. Is we maybe Sean McVay. I guess Shanahan, but I'm still dubious. Because Shanahan has elite talent that I think very much buffs up his resume.
Yeah, I think
even
you
in
can
Atlanta
say about McDaniel too.
Yeah, and yeah. And McDaniel has kind of lost some cachet because, oh, wait, Tua goes down and you can't even do anything?
Yeah.
You go
Tua eight, goes down, that team is useless.
Tyreek Hill goes 8 weeks without a touchdown because Tua got hurt. You can't do anything with it. And he had Skylar Thompson for multiple years, who he seemed to want as the backup quarterback, to develop as the backup quarterback, and then they couldn't do anything with Skylar Thompson, the backup quarterback. So I don't even know. Shanahan gets credit for Atlanta, but also in Atlanta, you had Julio Jones.
Right.
You had Tony Gonzalez. You had Tony Gonzalez, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You had Matt Ryan, who I think is a good quarterback.
Roddy White.
I'm not sure. Roddy White.
Yeah, he had players.
They had a good running back. The fast running back. Who was the fast running back?
Oh, Devontae something, right?
Yes.
What the hell was
I think
name?
He had talent in Atlanta would be my point.
Okay.
So, to me, Alex Van Pelt is doing something Shanahan doesn't really do. McVay hasn't really done.
Devontae Freeman.
Yes, Devontae Freeman.
He was a player, yeah.
AVP is putting together an offense that doesn't have any good players. That's hard to do.
Mm, it's true.
Right?
Yeah, it's very, very difficult.
I mean, I don't want to be an apologist for him because I have questions about his long-term viability. But the reality is, if you just assess it right now, I don't care. Clark Shaughnessy, the guy who invented the damn forward pass.
Right.
If you gave him this offense, I think would struggle.
Yeah, I agree with you. Joe is in Randolph. Go ahead, Joe.
Yes, hi, boys.
Hi, Joe.
Talking about a double standard here, I think the Patriots brass goes out to other teams looking for help and suggestions. Mm-hmm. And when Mac Jones went out looking to other teams for help and suggestions, the media and everybody killed him.
Yeah.
They said he was a traitor and everything else. I mean, you know, why the double standard?
All right, Joe, I'll tell you why, and thanks for the call. That was Belichick.
Yeah.
The media didn't actually care that Mac Jones was calling his old Alabama guy. Why would anyone actually care about that?
I thought it was the most normal thing ever.
Of course. The only person who cared about it was fragile ego Bill Belichick. Sorry, Stiz, earmuffs, but, I mean, that's the truth. He's the only one that gave a crap about that because he's very, very insensitive and insecure about that type of thing. You can't call out of it. You talk to me. I'm Bill Belichick. You ask me if you have any problems. Like, no, you did not handle that situation very well, and you had a weird relationship with him, and it ended up blowing up in everyone's face. That's why. So I agree there was a double standard, but that double standard died when Bill got fired. So now that I don't think the Krafts actually cared about that. I don't think anybody in the world cared about that except Belichick.
But also, owners can do what they want.
Right.
Owners are on a different level. You know what I mean? Like, they are, this is not the same as a player or even an assistant coach. They make the rules. They sign the checks. You know, players and coaches rent, they own. They are there permanently.
100%. 617-779-7937. If you would like to continue with this conversation on the development of Drake May compared to some of these other rookie quarterbacks, when we come back, the Boston Celtics may have righted the ship last night. Big blowout win over the Brooklyn Nets. We'll get into that and a crazy night in the NBA right after this.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
This song's the definition of scaring the hoes, you know?
What the hell does that mean?
You know what it means. You're having a party. Everyone's having a good time. You throw this on.
Well, I wouldn't throw this on at like a party. It's just a great song.
Is it?
Hey, you guys want to hear me play guitar?
Is it a great song?
It's a great song.
I like this song.
Thank you, Stiz.
I do.
There's different types of music. You have different moods.
I agree. There is.
Different things.
Definitely.
What version is this?
It's Post Malone.
Post Malone.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He's gonna do everything, isn't he?
Is this a concert cover?
Yeah, he did like an all acoustic.
Post Malone, he goes from like drill rap to country music to this to he was playing Santeria by Sublime. He's just gonna do every single music, all the music there is. He's gonna do it all.
Santeria, also one of my favorite songs.
Santeria, now that's I like that better than
that. See, you're judging me. The snobbery. You see the snobbery right there. The tone
from Sublime.
I like Santeria.
Oh, see, that's okay.
Yeah, it is.
Because you agree.
Well, yeah.
You know, if you were in a Sublime cover band, you really would practice Santeria.
That's right.
No crystal ball.
You would. Very good. The Celtics, very good last night as they blow out the Brooklyn Nets. 139-114 was the final score. A big night from Jason Tatum, who was one rebound away from a triple-double with 36 points.
Earned points with me by turning down the opportunity to pursue said triple-double.
He could have done that. It's true. He absolutely could have done that at the end of the game there.
Hat tip to
you. I actually lost the parlay on this game because I bet on the wrong Cam. I bet on the wrong Cam to hit 2 3-pointers. I bet on Cameron Johnson, and I meant to bet on Cam Thomas. and I lost the bet because of that. And I saw Thomas hit the second three, and I was like, yes, big payday for Arcand. And I had checked it again, and I bet on the wrong cam. How about
that's
that?
Just idiocy.
That's pretty stupid, isn't
How
it?
How old are you?
I mean, there's both two cams on the team. I just saw, okay.
So you just hit cam?
Yeah. I forgot that there were two cams on the team. There's two in the starting lineup. Cam Johnson, there's two Johnsons, too. It was very confusing from a betting perspective. At any rate, it was a nice win for the Celtics, a nice bounce back after that ugly loss to the Atlanta Hawks. And I think, in general, you're going to see this team bounce back against bad teams. Brooklyn's not a good team. And the underlying problem here, if there is one, to me, is still not anything that happened in that game last night. It's when they go up against teams with solid big men. It's when they go up against teams who are tough in the paint and can score in the paint and beat them on the glass. And they don't lose all those games, not all the time, but those are the games that they've lost. It's been because of that.
And this game wasn't easy.
No,
this was not one of those, like, you go up 20 in the first quarter and roll to a victory. They had to play.
It was another slow start.
Yeah, it was a slow start. Now, Brown and Tatum were good. And I just think, in general, if Brown and Tatum are good, you're going to win most games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the simple
You're going to win most games against Brooklyn, for sure. Yeah.
Well, but you say that, like, Atlanta and Brooklyn have the same record.
True.
And
different matchup, though. You
Atlanta
know? I mean,
gives up more points per game than Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And you scored a season high. So, you know, I know there's matchups and all of that, but I just think they played better. They didn't turn the ball over as much. I think they only had one turnover between Brown and Tatum. I had the luxury of watching it early, and I was bitching at him. I was like, what are you doing? He, like, went to the basket, and it was like he had butterfingers again. Yeah. He just dribbled it right out of bounds. But they played a good game. I just think this team is not as dialed in inherently. Like, Pritchard bounced back. He wasn't very good against Atlanta.
No.
He bounced back and had a big game last night. They're just not as consistently dialed in as I thought they would be. I think that's my biggest. I think they're capable of doing that performance against almost any team in the NBA.
Yeah.
I keep saying, your dreaded Cavaliers that won on like a walk-off shot again to stay 13-0.
They won by like 10 last night.
Oh, I thought they had. I didn't see the game.
Cleveland
I just saw some.
Hold on a second. Cleveland won 114-106. Yeah.
Oh, then why did it say like Donovan Mitchell wins it with a three or something?
Don't know.
That's why you can't.
He had 11 of his 23 points in the last 3 minutes. It's probably something like that.
Oh, maybe.
He went crazy at the
end
of
the game. But I think the Celtics have every bit of chance to beat Cleveland by like 30. Like, I just, that's who they are. They're good enough to do that on any given night.
Agreed.
They're just not as dialed in as I thought they would be to do that every night.
Yeah. After the game, I was watching the post-game show. I clicked over to ESPN, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing as they did the NBA segment. They're going, it's just SportsCenter. It wasn't anything special, but they were going over each of these games. It was a crazy night in the NBA last night. Giannis had 59 points against the Pistons, outscored them in overtime. And Milwaukee needed that, by the way, big time. Wembanyama, a 50-point game in San Antonio, who did San Antonio beat? Washington. Which, again, these are two teams that suck.
Mm-hmm.
But 50 points for Wembanyama is certainly nothing to sneeze at. LeBron had his third straight triple-double. And Jokic. Brian just came in here and told me Jokic right now is averaging more points than Shaq's career high, more rebounds than Tim Duncan's career high, and more assists than Chris Paul's career high right now. This is a pretty fun NBA season so far, despite the fact that there's a lot of haves and have-nots already. Celtics are one of the haves, so it's fine with us. But that's a pretty wild night in the league, I got to say.
The Jokic thing I find very enjoyable because I tweeted out in one of the Patriots games that Drake May reached F it, I'll do it myself mode.
Yeah.
I think Jokic has reached even more than normal the F it, I'll do it myself mode. Just give him the MVP. He's the best player in the league. He's the best player on the planet. I also think you mentioned the two 50-point games. Doesn't it feel like that happens a lot? That when somebody has a 50-point game,
someone else has one
that same night.
That is weird, yeah, because there hasn't been a lot of games like that at all so far this year.
And then all of a sudden there's two 50-point games. I feel like wasn't there like an 260s a couple of years ago? Like, I feel like they come in pairs for some reason, which makes no sense.
Not sure
there's
what
There's no
make
way
of
they
that.
Can be related.
Law of averages, I guess.
Unless it's rigged.
Matt is in Rhode Island. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? Did you hear about Mazzulla? How he said he thinks there should be more fighting in the NBA.
I do. Yes. I did hear that. I heard it was aggregated and posted everywhere. It was at the other station where he said that, obviously, but it was pretty funny. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that line of thinking.
All right. Just so you know, RK, we're talking about human on human, not human on otter fighting.
That's fine. But, I understand that. Yeah. How would the otter even know? Like, the otter starts the fight. Like, he was talking about people agreeing to fight.
Yes.
And, like, fighting on the streets. Right. If you fight an otter, it's not because you both, it's just, you know, it's animal kingdom stuff. Anyway, go ahead, Matt. Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, Grant Williams, obviously, Giannis, obviously, like, I mean, this has been talks for a couple of years, but I think the Celtics, you know, they got to get their hands on someone, you know, to play physical in the paint, like you guys were just saying, for the part of the game, rebounding and whatnot. But, you know, if people want to keep taking runs at Jason Tatum and whatnot, which is going to continue to happen if you don't have someone that's going to, you know, stop them, it's going to be a consideration. And one of these times, you know, he may hopefully not get hurt.
So, hopefully he doesn't get hurt, man. I know what you meant.
He misspoke.
And I'm not sure that there's people taking runs at Jason Tatum. Is that happening?
Well, Grant Williams did.
Grant Williams did.
Absolutely.
Grant Williams is a maniac, but I mean, I don't feel like it's happening every night.
No.
Right? Like, is that you need an enforcer out there to protect Jason Tatum?
Well, I don't know about that. They're being aggressive defensively. We talked to Scal about it yesterday. And he talked again about on the broadcast. This is clearly his talking point for the early season Celtics, is the new NBA, the physicality. Now, I heard him last night say he thinks Tatum and Brown can dominate in this world because they're perfectly built and youthful for a physical style of play. They can, if you tell them the rules, they'll adjust their game if you're doing on defense.
Celtics need a Charles Oakley off the bench, you know? They need the enforcer out there. Tillman, maybe, right? Tillman's kind of, he's kind of an Oakley-ish figure. Kind of looks like him. Well, he doesn't look like him, but he's got the same build a little bit, you know? Something
so
like
you
that.
Want him to be the enforcer or clothesline or something if he
I
has
suppose,
to?
If you need someone to.
I don't feel like it's reached that level yet.
I don't think it's reached that level at all. Grant Williams, if someone wants to go out there and smack Grant Williams, like, I'm not going to be upset about it.
Right.
He's an idiot, but I don't think that that's something that the Celtics need to be actively concerned about.
And he brought up Giannis. Giannis does it on the offensive end.
Right.
He takes it to people when he's going toward the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have a lot of recollection of Giannis being overly physical and Bill Laimbeer-esque on the defense.
And what are you going to do? Take on Giannis? Like, he's not, you know? Like,
well, if you have to send Tillman out there, you do it.
Sure, but it's even then, I mean, he's a big, strong guy. It's not like it's like saying, oh, just go out there and hit Shaq or something. Like, you're not going to just take out Shaq. You can't do that.
No.
You can foul him and send him to the free throw line and fine, but, you know, you're trying to retaliate against somebody. I don't think it's hard to do. It's not an easy thing.
They did have
like
last
that.
Night the, there was a jump ball between Jason Tatum and somebody, and it took like 35, 45 seconds to set it up because they were all doing the...
They were all pushing each other, yeah.
Like, I think that's as close as you get right now to sort of some physicality or some jockeying for whatever you want to call it. Are they being a little more physical? I guess. I'll be honest. Have you really noticed it, like, visually? Like, Scal brings it to my attention.
He brings it up, but I also notice things where I'm like, oh, that wasn't a foul. Like, I expect them to call fouls, and they haven't been. I feel like that's happened a lot this year. I do. I like it too.
That's my kind of basketball, baby.
Less whistles, the better. I agree with you. 617-779-7937. The Cavs still undefeated, by the way. We'll circle back to that in just a minute. But we're going to preview the L.A. Rams. The Rams, who played the Patriots in a couple Super Bowls, didn't really go so great for them. Here we are all this time later about to play them in the regular season. Mayo talked about that this morning. We'll get into the coaching situations as well and the way these rosters were built right after this.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.